You're listening to the Abundant Life Podcast featuring Chili Chilton. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts to get inspiring content delivered right to your device every week. All right, let's check out today's talk.
This word love makes me wonder, does love really win? We always say love wins, and I believe it does win. But when we use it so much, we don't really know what it means. I love video games. I love pizza. I love Nike. I love this or that. You know, we love all these things we love. So then when it gets to a person and you're like, I love you, and they just heard you like, you mean you love me like pizza? You love me like your shoes? You love me like video games? What do you love me like? We sing worship songs and we're saying love to God. But what's love mean to us? How do we define love to a world that hears it all the time? Well, get ready to cheer and open your Bible to 1 John 4. That is what we call weak sauce. Get ready to cheer and open your Bible to 1 John chapter 4. Yes, we cheer for God's word. Some of you, your first time here, you go, you people are weird. You cheer for everything. Hey, listen, we cheer for things that are undefeated. Now, we watch other people. They cheer for sports teams, you know, and you know, you watch TV today, and LeBron, he'll probably lose. Now, see, some people are always like, you think he walks on water. He doesn't. Jordan did. I'm kidding. You're like, that man's sacrilegious. I don't mean that at all. But we get, again, look at how fast we get. Our affections are stirring inside of us. The things we love. But it says this, 1 John 4, verse 7, second part, and verse 8. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Verse 8. But anyone who does not love does not know God. And here it is. For God is love. Say it again. God is love. One more time. God is love. God is love. So anything that we otherwise describe as love pales in comparison to God. And so in our relationships, if God is not how we define love, then we already have brokenness in our relationships. If God is not the foundation that we just sang about in worship, in your marriage, in your relationship, you are destined for heartbreak. Because there's not enough of you to be you and Jesus. There isn't enough of you to be you and God. There isn't enough of you to be you and the Holy Spirit. But in God, who is love, we have all three of the Trinity at work in us. And anybody who's been married very long, your spouse would say, and they need all of it. I heard my wife say amen all the way from Alabama just then. Shh. So what do we do with our relationship? How do we really start a relationship? How do we keep our marriages going? I'm going to give you three things. First, love God. Well, that seems simple. No, really, love God. Plan God into everything you do. Man, when I was a kid and a youth pastor, I used to always say, man, give to my kids are going out on dates. It's like, put a big old Bible between you and whoever you're dating. Because then they got to cross the word to get to you. Well, now it's an iPhone. It's harder. Love God. It says, and we're just going to spend the rest of the morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It talks a little bit about love in this chapter. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. You see, we have to love God in our relationships. It doesn't, we loved God to get our relationship and then we just kind of take over love. No, loving God has to become the daily, the continual, the always thing in any good relationship. We love God. Now we love God together. We loved God. We became one with God. We were made strong in God. Then God brought us together as a miracle in God. We became multiplied in God. And now together we love God, which means we got to love God's word. We've got to love God's word. You don't just read it, you need it. Right? You should wake up in the morning and go, I need God's word more than a workout, more than vitamins, more than breakfast, more than coffee. Well, can't we like start the coffee maker as we're getting our Bible ready? I mean, they kind of go together, right? That sound of, you're like, yes, Jesus, I hear you. I'm coming. However it works for you, but you got to love God's word. And if you're wondering when you're dating and spending time together, what should we talk about? Talk about God's word. Talk about God's word. Here's something simple. Anytime you read God's word, have this conversation. What does it tell me about God, and what does it tell me about me? Come on, write that down. Now you have something to talk about when you're out together. What did you read? Okay, you told. Now what did that tell you about God, and what did that tell you about yourself? And as a result, what are you supposed to do? Those three things will keep your life moving forward and your relationships moving forward. Just spending time in God's word. I said last week when I used to, first start spending time with my wife, before she was my wife, I didn't want to spend time with her if I hadn't been in God's presence because I thought she would know. She was like Holy Spirit 2.0 to me. You know, I was like, what? I was in the word, sort of. You got to love God's word and you got to love prayer. You know what? I don't think there's anything more attractive than finding your spouse praying. Come on, married people. That's sexy. It's like, oh, you and Jesus all over you. Holy Ghost, Shekinah glory up on you. Woo! You'd want to just jump in there, but you might be repelled at the time. So you just like admire from a distance. It's like, Man, I should love, and we should love the way our spouse prays. Because nobody's going to pray for you more. Right? Nobody's going to be there more than your spouse. My boys, they make fun of my wife for how she prays. It's true. She uses some King James every now and then because she kind of like went through all of the Bibles, found out King James worked, and then NIV worked, and NLT worked, and the Message worked. God's word works. So sometimes when she prays, one of the things she does a lot when she prays for the boys is she says that she prays that God would hem them in. Those of you that sow, hem them in. It's from the word of God. So they teased her about it. So she said, I'm not going to do it anymore. But every morning as we're driving to school, she prays over them. And they're like, Mom, you better do the hem in thing. We're almost to the school. You better hem us in and lay your hand of blessing upon our heads. Man, there's nothing greater than a generation that knows the sound of their mother's prayers, that knows the sounds of the Father's prayers, that understands that there are people in that house that connect with love, that we know how to connect with love. And that's so important for us. If you're going to love God, you got to love God's word, you got to love prayer, and you got to love God. Heart, soul, mind, and strength, we got to love God with everything we have. And you got to learn to look around and appreciate everything God is. He's everywhere. And when we get all discouraged, look and you'll see God at work. Marvel at his creation. Look at what he's doing in the lives of others. And every time you say the word of love, remember you're saying the word God. God. You got to love God. All right. Second thing. Let's keep things moving here. I got a reputation. Love others. As couples, we got to learn to love others. Otherwise, you become self-involved. Ew. We used to have this word in a teenager. We called it one obnoxious blob. Oob. We're like, that group, that little teenage couple just became like so obnoxious and gross. They just kind of, you know, it's just disgusting. Like when you just forget there's other people around, right? Right? You know, like if I'm paying like $10 for a movie, the only kissing I want to see is if it's on the screen. But not that people right in front of me, you know, they didn't have to pay for that. Let's go on. 1 Corinthians 13. I'm getting off this topic. Verse 4. Love is patient. Just go ahead and say amen if you already got this one nailed down, any of these. All right, so we got somebody, a patient? Me. Got it. Amen. Me. All right, so say amen to any of them that are you or yeah. All right, because we're not really much of an amen church, but we are kind of a grunt and make noise church, right? So, all right, so if this is you, if I'm describing you, just go ahead and let us know. So I'll start over. Love is patient. I can't even grunt to that. Right. Love is kind. All right, some of you are nailing it. Love is not jealous. Never. And it's not boastful for anybody who just made noise the previous four. You really should read ahead if you're going to get involved in these games, you know. Or proud or rude for those of you grunting, even when told to. It does not demand its own way. It's never irritable. But the light's red. It's green now, it's green. We're not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wrong. Remember that time you totally like, I thought you forgave me of that. Yeah, I did. I just was remembering it. That's because you're a jerk. Thank God that God specializes in transformation of jerks. Me being one of the lead ones. I got security and bodyguards in this house. I'm just telling you right now. We might have to bring you guys in. You got to come a little closer, all right? We might have parking lot scrap today. And by the way, the parking lot crew, they're mine too. All right. Man, I didn't know we were going to go there. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. And that would be me. All right. It rejoices when truth wins out. Man, we've got to get after it. Verse 7, love never gives up. It never loses faith. Man, that has to define our marriages. I won't give up. I won't lose faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. It says, verse 8, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. It will be around. See, we believe in prophecy. We believe in those languages, but we believe in love more. And the hallmark of this church should be love. We want you to leave feeling so loved. I don't want to impress you. I want to imprint you. That means if we CSI scanned you on the way out, there'd be love fingerprints all over you. That you just know you are loved. You see, love sees the best in others, doesn't it? Love sees the best in others. Love believes the best in others. I do. I believe the best is yet to come. I can hang around some people. They just tell me it's all over. It's over. I don't think anything good's going to happen. It's like, well, don't hang around me. Because I believe the best is coming. I believe for a better world for my kids. I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe if we're living in the last days, that God saved us best for last. And this generation is the best he ever created. I believe that. I believe that. Love proclaims the best. So it sees the best, it believes the best, and it proclaims the best in others. If you could just do this daily in your relationships, if you could think of three things that you love about your spouse and tell them, it would change your world. It would change your world. We'd probably have more children in the world. It would change your world. And love never, ever, ever, ever stops. Can't stop it. Only hope to contain it. Can't stop God's love. Mm-mm. He's the best. Last thing. You got to love God. You got to love others. And you got to love life. These are just values of our church that also work in marriage, that also work in relationship, that also work in your workplace, that also work in your school. They work. You got to love life. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete. Amen. And even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and I thought and I reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. And now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. And all that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So what defines our relationship? Man, if somebody asks you that, I would love for you to be able to say this. Oh, me and my wife? We have crazy, courageous faith. We have enthusiastic, unwavering hope. And we have passionate, unstoppable love. And if you take those three things, we have Jesus. Everyday Jesus. It goes back to the very first message we talked. If you don't know what to say to your loved one, speak the name of Jesus. Speak it over them. If your kid shuts the door, sneak in and speak it in their ear at night. Refuse to stop love. Refuse to let doors stop love. When we as couples act immature and we push each other away and we hold grudges and we get bitter and we get ugly, somehow you think someone else is better looking, better for you. Take a look in the mirror and you'll see Jesus crying, because he created you for love and he created you to be love. And you are not God, and you are not the judge, and you are not the definer of what someone else should be or look like or have to do to meet your needs. God meets your needs through people. Sometimes your needs need to be met in a way of going, you need to get out there and work harder. Serve harder. Fight harder. Because that's what love did to save you. Jesus was the sinless one who carried a tree to a Calvary and stretched out on it and died and became our sin on it. He knows hard work to love somebody. And looking off the cross, where's those 12 disciples? Only one even dared show up after saying, we are your boys. And he still went through with it. While they mocked him and lied about him. See, because love finishes what it starts. The only way that separates we who are married is the next chapter of love, when we become the bride of Christ. That's what separates us. Earth, it'll take one of us. One of our dear deacons lost his wife last night. But that's not the end, is it? That's not how love ends. That's how love really gets going. Imperfect love becomes perfect love. It becomes powerful love. It becomes eternal love. And I want us to get that. So today I'm going to do something that maybe seems a bit silly. At this point, you're not surprised. But I'm going to close by us saying some vows to one another. So if you're with your spouse, first of all, I want you just to hop up. All right? If your spouse is here, hop up. If you're with your spouse, they're in this room, and you're sure you might be the host or something like that. All right? All right? Look at all you. Now, this is the only thing I ask of you guys. I'm going to lead you in vows, and you're going to do them at the same time, all right? Just for the, you know, I had to keep my record. now, you're going to do your vows at the same time, but I want you to think of your cute little word for the person you're going to do vows to, all right? Your special word, your unique word. I don't know what that is. So when we begin, you're just going to start off by speaking to them, your affectionate name, and then I'll lead you, all right? So just go ahead and look at them. You don't have to look at me. In fact, I encourage you not to. Look at the person you love, and the rest of you, single people, yeah, that's right. You get to do the ahs, all right? All right, here we go. Affectionate name. Say it to each other. I love you, and I promise to love you more and more. I will be patient and kind, honest and true, faithful and fearless, hopeful and humble. All the days of my life are yours through Christ. And I will always strive to believe the best. Endure the storms, apply the lessons, and laugh through the joys. Love will be our address and define our destiny. And together, we will live everyday Jesus. We begin again today, fresh and new. And I love you now and forever. You know what to do. You know what to do. Come on. You know what to do. Pucker up, buttercup. Come on. You know what to do. Let me have all my single people stand up. All my single people stand up. All my single people stand up. You thought you were off the hook? No. I said this early in the series. The best way to prepare for the perfect marriage is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Right? So all of you are going to make vows to get together right now to Jesus. All right? So I want you to speak the following words just to Jesus. All right? You can close your eyes and you can say it like a prayer. I'll also put them on the screen if you have a hard time following me. But let's get after it. All of you, speak these words to Jesus. And I think, if you mean it, you'll feel him speaking these words back to you. That's my prayer. Say this with me, single people. Jesus, I love you. And I promise to seek you more and more. As I apply your word and walk with your Holy Spirit, I choose to become patient and kind, honest and true, faithful and fearless, hopeful and humble. I trust you with my life and my future. I believe you can provide my true love and spouse in your timing and in your ways. Until then, all the days of my life are yours. And should you provide another, we will serve you together as our Savior and Lord. Alone or in marriage, you are the greatest love of all. And I will proclaim this with my life, my decisions, my friendships, and my faith. It's everyday Jesus for me forever. Amen. Amen. Man, I tell you this. It's so good to do life together, isn't it? We're not perfect. And, you know, some of you are still needing to work on that marriage and stuff. We have that XO conference coming up at the end of this week. I encourage you to sign up for that. Yeah, be part of that. And be part of this. We need each other. This is called accountability. And this is the best place to be as a couple or as a single person on Sunday morning. It's the best place to be as a couple or a single person on Wednesday night, this new thing called Coram Deo. I encourage you, be part of it. Grow your faith and grow your love and let it out today everywhere you go, okay? I'm going to just say a word of closing, all right, and then I'll let you go. You can stay seated because I've been up and down a few times. I don't want to stress you out. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for this quick little series on relationships. I know there's so many things we could cover or we could have spent more time in, but Lord, I think more than anything, we were overwhelmed with the reality that you made us for a relationship, first with you and then with others. And we thank you for it, that you didn't put us on this planet alone, but that we could do life with people who love you. And we do love you. So Lord, go before us, go behind us, hem us in, and put your hand of blessing on each of us. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about Abundant Life, check us out on the web at abundant.church. And make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode.